Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Change can be an unsettling experience. Change can cause us to be fearful about what's next. Maybe some of us. Change can be a time of frustration and a time of joy. So you as a church are in a period of change, which began when Pastor Greg announced his resignation and they moved on. Suddenly, for some of you, the only pastor maybe you've known, or one that you've known for a while anyway, is gone. And so now others are filling some roles that he and his wife filled. So different people are doing different things. Sometimes I joke a little that the pastor leaves and needed five people to fill in, to volunteer all the things he did that were outside of his job description, because he just naturally takes things on, right? And so maybe some of you are some of those people. You've taken on some of those things. So there's different people doing different things. There's some change happening. You've invited me to come to be your transitional pastor. This will bring some more change as I lead you through a transition process. Now, most of us, or many of us, don't like change. We kind of like things to remain the same. We know what to expect. Even you come home to mom and dad's after being gone, married, having kids, you come home, and all of a sudden there's a new something. How come you have a different microwave? Whatever. Something's different. It's changed. We want things to be the same. We know what to expect. It's familiar. We know how to handle it. Our mind doesn't have to figure anything out. We know exactly who's going to sit where in the church. We know exactly what's going to happen, right? But change means now all of a sudden we have to think about things we didn't think about before. So, Beaver Lodge Alliance Church, you are experiencing a period of change that if you engage in it well, and from my early experience with you, I think you will. But if you engage in it well, maybe a significant time of reflection, of hearing from God, and of dreaming your future. Change can be a little like changing a diaper. It can be a messy situation, but everyone in the room is glad when it's done. Sometimes that's what change feels like. Why are we doing this? What's going on? Do we really have to talk about that? So I'll be leading you through some change, which may at times seem a little messy, but I think we'll be glad when the changes are done. Sometimes I think change can be a little like paying for something with cash. Now, I don't do that very often. We had a week of holidays, and we were paying with cash because another church had blessed us with some money. And I actually felt a little awkward because I'm usually just pulling out my card, and all of a sudden I had this change. Because when you pay for something, you give them your money, and yes, you get what you paid for or the experience you wanted to have, but then you have a little bit of change to put back in your pocket. Maybe some of this change will feel like that. You're investing a whole lot of time and energy and experience into this process of change, and it seems like there's very little change at the end. Because it could be that when we get through this whole process, you say, did we really change anything? I think we will probably have some changes happening that maybe you won't even recognize because you're in the middle of it, because hopefully all of you will join in with it. This is not the elders telling you what to do and how to change things. This is not me telling you. This is, we're going to work this process together. Okay, so a big investment, sometimes maybe the change is a little smaller than you had thought at first, but it will be meaningful, I think. So as a transition pastor, there are many things I will do that are the same as a regular pastor would do. So I will be part of helping to make sure that Sunday services are looked after. Now, they're probably looked after pretty well, so maybe I don't have to do much with that. But I'll be preaching quite often. As a transition pastor, I will not be here every Sunday, so I just want to be clear about that. When I first started as a transition pastor, I talked to somebody that had done this for a long time. And one of the suggestions they made was, if you go to a church, don't be there every Sunday, because it does a few things. It lets the church know, it reminds you, I'm not your full-time pastor. I'm not your next lead pastor. So I will be here most Sundays, most weeks, but not the third Sunday of each month. Okay? Get that in your calendar. The third Sunday of each month. What it also does then is give me opportunity to help another church that's also going through a transition and give them a little bit of help. So I will be working with LaGlasse Bible Fellowship on that third Sunday every month. And some of you probably have been hearing different stories and you're thinking, well, you're here and you're there. Okay, so I'll be here most of the time, but once a month I'll be working with the LaGlasse Bible Fellowship as well. Now the difference will be I'm here as your transition pastor. Working with them will be a little bit more like a consultant coming in to help them through certain things. Okay, so I'll be preaching most Sundays. I will provide what pastoral care I can. Now, you probably have some people that have done a good job with that already, but I want to be available where needed for sure. I will help make sure some of the administrative needs of the church are being looked after. But again, I think that's being looked after very well, but I'm available to help where I can with that. I'll help you with spiritual and relational renewal as necessary. Again, maybe there's nothing that needs to be done there and we can just power on through. That's good. Or maybe there are some things that kind of come up where we realize there's some things that need to be addressed we didn't really think about before, or people were kind of not talking about, and maybe now they will. I'll work with the elders on structural renewal as necessary, working on things like vision and strategy. And I'll help you in your pastoral search process. I also want to be clear, I will not promise you that when I'm done, you'll have a new lead pastor in place. Okay? We will work through all kinds of processes, and I'll explain that in a bit. But I cannot find your next pastor for you. But God will have the right person at the right time. Okay? I would love, by the time I'm done with you, that you have somebody in place or at least someone lined up and ready to go. But if it doesn't happen, we're going to trust that God is the one who's looking after that and will provide at the right time. I'm just reminded again and again, we cannot make anyone apply. You put your ad out there, we can't make anybody apply. If they don't want to, they won't. But if God wants to, he will guide the right person at the right time. So my goal for the transition is to do this. Primarily to help you be the healthiest church that you can be before the next lead pastor arrives. Now, maybe you're thinking, we're pretty healthy. Maybe you are. But maybe we can do some more things. But also to guide you as you prepare your search for your next lead pastor. Okay? So I have assigned a contract with your elders to serve you from now until June 2027. Okay? Just gives you a timeline of what... During that time, I will guide you through a transition process. So let me give you a bit of an idea what that will look like. Let's work through it backwards first. Because some of you are probably saying, why don't we just go and put an ad out there? Why are we wasting time with a transitional pastor? Because we could just put the ad out there, somebody's going to apply, and we'll be ready to go. Now, you could do that. But how do you know what kind of pastor you're looking for? Now, the easy thing would be to say, we want someone exactly like Greg, or someone exactly opposite, or something. I mean, just quickly jump to an idea and say, that's what we need. But if you have a process that helps inform that, then you'll say, oh, now we know what kind of pastor we're looking for. Now we know what kind of ad to put it there. So you back up. So you need to have an idea of what the pastor is like, what his job description should be, what you're expecting of his character and competency and all those kind of things. But again, that you don't know what to do with that if you aren't sure about your vision of who you are as a church. What has God called you to be and to do? Now, maybe it will be the same as what you've already got. But it may be that in this process, this time of change, this is a perfect time for God to kind of step in and say, I'm going to adjust things a little bit. I have a new plan for you. I have a new set of directions for you. And so it needs to be clear on what the vision is so you know how to put a job description together to hire someone who will help with that vision, right? So they're not just some random person that shows up and tells you what to do because they have an idea, but you have your clear understanding what God wants of you as a church. But that, again, is building on who you are already, right? So we'll take some time to say, who are we? What's the realities of our church? And even before that, we're going to back up and say, where have we been as a church? Because I think that all builds together. To come to the point where we can put together not just a little ad that says, hey, we want to hire somebody, but a document that tells them, this is what our community is like, this is what our church is like, this is our vision, our plans, this is what we're looking for, This is who we want to hire, who will help us with what God already has asked us to do. And so it's a process. Okay, so that's if we start with the end in mind. So let me just walk through the steps just so you understand where we'll be going. I have six phases that we'll work through. Okay. So first, remember and celebrate. So this is just taking some time just to kind of say, okay, we'll step back. Let's remember who we are, what God has done here in the past. Let's celebrate that. And if there's something that arises out of that and says there's some things to be addressed, well, then we'll do that. Number two would be assess the present reality. So you want to assess the present situation. Then clarify vision and strategy. I think I'll have to figure out how to do PowerPoint because it's not showing up the way I put it in there. So I might, we'll have to do something different. So clarify vision and strategy. Then determine type of pastor needed so you know what you're looking for. Then a search for the new pastor. And then as that search is going on, the last part of it would be how do we prepare for a new pastor to arrive? To do that well. So we're ready. So phase one would be remember and celebrate. And so one of the tools we use in this section will be to do a history wall. I'm not sure if you've seen one of those or been aware of one of those, but the idea is really to make a visual display of your history. So it might be pictures, and it might be some records that you have. It might be old bulletins or events that you had, but you want to celebrate the years of what God has done over the years, the different segments of your history. Tomorrow I'm meeting with the board, and I think part of that hopefully will be that we'll also try to put together a transition team. Because the elders already have a pretty full plate. I'm told that meetings often go or can go till 10:30 at night. So to add more stuff might not necessarily be that nice. So a transition team would take some of the transition responsibilities. I would work with them instead of giving the elders more. Now, there'll be some stuff that definitely will go through the elders, but some of it then would be working with this team, and maybe some of you will be part of that. Phase two would be assessing the present reality. We're going to invite you to do a vision assessment survey. So tell us honestly some of the things that we want to know. You can speak into that. We'll begin work on a community profile, getting a sense of who is our community that God has invited us to serve for these many, many years. Do we clearly understand? Do we know who's in this community and how to meet their needs as God invites us to? Phase three would be clarify vision and strategy. So we'd be working on vision and the elders would be leading this, but it would also include the transition team and you as a church, that we together would hear from God on what is this all about? What are you calling us to? What do you have in mind for us? Phase four would be determine what type of pastor is needed. And this would then end up developing a church and pastoral profile so that when we put an ad out there, they know what we're looking for and they can very quickly say yes or no. I want to be clear on this too. There's not a whole bunch of pastors out there waiting for churches to call them. It's going to take a while. So even as we're looking for someone to send a resume, they're going to apply to us, we're really applying to all the potential pastors out there. We're actually going to build a document that really, in a sense, is like our resume we're putting out. This is who we are. We're looking for someone, the right person, to come and be our pastor. So it kind of works both ways, right? They're looking, we're looking. Phase five is search for a new pastor, and so it'll be a whole process on how we do that and how we work through that. Phase six will be preparing for that new pastor, so candidating weekend and all those kind of things. I have a first 90 days document that would help us kind of prepare on that. So there's a few things we'll do there just to make sure when the next person arrives in this role of lead pastor that they very quickly get to know who you are, they get to know the community, and that kind of that thing of starting so well that they have a solid foundation to build from, that they get to know you, that they get to know the community well, and move on from there. Now, beyond the phases, the six phases of steps we're going to go through, there's a few things that I think are key in this. One is spiritual renewal. Now, maybe that's a term you guys have been walking through for a long time already, and that's fine. But I think this is important. It's so easy to come in and focus on the business part, on the organizational stuff, like vision and strategy. And it's so easy to get caught up and we'll fix all those kind of things and everything will be good. But we do want to take time to listen, to practice spiritual disciplines, and in the whole process, asking God to bring us, whatever term you want to use, deeper, closer, higher, fuller, getting to surrender more as a church, but as individuals, to Jesus, to the Spirit at work. And prayer, I'm hoping that we'll have some good prayer initiatives in the church over the next while. We need to talk with God about this. We need to pray. All of us do. Our youth and our kids need to join in praying that God would guide and we would hear the Spirit clearly as we move ahead. And the church needs to be ready for a new pastor. You might think, well, we're ready now. I've heard that the length of a church transition between pastors should reflect approximately 1 month for every year of the previous pastor's tenure. How long was he here? I don't think it needs to take 2 years. I don't think it needs to take 2 years. But I think it needs to take a little bit of time. Partly because it will, it just does, but partly because we need to be able to let go enough to be ready to welcome a new pastor. There's nothing worse for a new pastor than to come in and constantly hear, well, Pastor Greg did this, and Pastor Greg said this. But hopefully over some time, that will not be the conversation anymore. But the conversation can still be, this is what God has done in our church, and this is what we've done, but it's less about this individual, more about what God has done. So take some time, okay? But we need to be at the point where we're ready to receive someone into this position. Okay, now with all of that in mind, let's go to James chapter 4, okay? James chapter 4. I would invite you to take your Bibles. I'm not going to put the scripture up there. Let me just quickly say, I'll probably say this again. I think we need to read the Bible. I think when I preach, I need to use the Bible. I invite you to follow along in the Bible because this is the Word of God to us. It's not my words to you. And I kind of really like it when you have an actual Bible. You know why? When you open to the James, you automatically can tell what? Which testament is in, old or new? You just can tell physically even, right? There's certain things about having the Bible in your hand that just automatically helps you already know where you're going before you start reading. Okay, James chapter 4, verse 13. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. I should just say, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. Now, I'm sure there's some very capable people in this church. There's probably some very talented, creative individuals. Because you're farmers and businessmen and women, and you are parents running a household, and you serve on teams and committees, and you are smart, intelligent, capable people. You are creative, and you can imagine a future for this church. And you're creative, and you can kind of imagine what this next pastor is like. But our future as a church does not depend on how smart I am or you are, or how capable we are in making plans for our future. So this is not self-reliance, right? This is not saying, tomorrow I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to make these plans. And so even though we started with plans, we have 6 phases, and we're going to work through them, and we have these two. Yes, we have plans, but this is not self-reliance. This is not saying, we've got this figured, we'll be okay. This is not self-reliance. Some of you may have experience hiring people. So you think you could probably hire a pretty good pastor. You know how to do it. You know how to run the interview. You know how to handle the whole process. Yeah. We can probably work on vision and strategy on our own. But we don't want to. Right? We don't want to do this on our own. This is not self-reliance. We're not going to work on it on our own. Some of us are very good at writing things down. So you could probably come up with a pretty good job description, even right now, for the next pastor. But the change we're going through as a church will best be navigated not by self-reliance, but God-reliance. Right? Instead of relying on our own abilities and skills and experiences, we're going to ask God to give us direction for the future. We're going to ask God to give us wisdom to clarify our vision and strategy. If it's the same and it just needs to be renewed, that's fine. If it needs some more tweaking, God, then guide us in that. We're going to ask God to help us determine exactly what kind of pastor we need. But our future as a church depends on the Lord's will. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. We will do our best to hear from God. We'll walk through the process slowly, slowly enough, hopefully, to hear God. We'll allow God to speak to each aspect of the journey to make His will clear. If the Lord wants us to, we will do this or that. Right? Look at the last line, verse 17. When I first saw this, I thought, well, how does this fit? It says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. At first, it's, how does that fit with not self-reliance, but God-reliance? But I think because God-reliance requires obedience. If we're going to rely on God, that means we have to actually do what He asks us to do. Flip back in James to chapter 1, to verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Now, that's very clearly talking about God's word, right? You listen to God's word. But I think God's word is also includes the Holy Spirit speaking to us and revealing certain things to us, sometimes very specifically through scripture and sometimes through prayer and sometimes through different means. So, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. If we are actually serious about going to God and saying, give us direction about our next steps as a church, then when He tells us the next direction, we need to do it. It could be that He asks us to do some things that are a little different or new compared to what we're used to. Or maybe there'd be a temptation to say, well, let's not do that one. We'll do these things over here, but let's not worry about that. I think that's what He's saying here. Don't rely on yourself, but continue to rely on God. If it's the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that, and so we will not disobey Him. We'll obey Him. It is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. So if He tells us what to do, we're going to do it. Right? Obedience. I don't think verse 17 is just tacked on. I think it actually is following through on what He's trying to tell us. We do what God asks us to do. I'm reminded of a verse I learned when I was a kid in VBS, I think it was. It's one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Excuse me. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. I think that proverb is saying exactly the same thing as James. Trust in God, not in your own understanding. Seek Him, and He will show you what direction to go, then go in that direction. Yes, you will experience some ongoing change over the next year or so. God may challenge you in a few areas, but I hope you're looking forward with anticipation to see what God will do and how He will lead us as a church for the benefit of the church and the community and the world around and for the glory of God. So yes, change may be unsettling, but change may also give us an even better future. So let's rely on God together.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgeallianceschurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.